Today's daf is Vachen Daf Tzadi Gimel. We are holding on the bottom of Daf Tzadi Beis Amid Beis. We are at Bomine Levi, that is 4 lines from the bottom of the page on Daf Tzadi Beis Amid Beis. So it says Gemara Bomine Levi. Levi asks the following Shaila. So it's a question who he asked it from, but it's the Gilead Hashas points out that it seems to be that he asked the Shaila of Rebbe. The Gemara Masech Sanhedrin points out that Lemeidin Lefnei Chachamim is Levi Mei Rebbe. Whenever you have Lemeidin Lefnei Chachamim, so it stands to reason that when Levi is asking something, it is from Rebbe. But whoever he asked the Shaila from, he asked the Shaila as follows. We're in the middle of discussing kibbutz of dam, of a korban chatos that goes on a baguette. So this whole daf is going to be about some of the details of that halacha, about the kibbutz of a baguette. So first we're going to talk about what if the dam goes from one baguette to another baguette. Does the fact that it was on the first baguette disqualify the dam and therefore mean that it no longer requires kibbutz? We're going to discuss if the dam goes on a beged tameh, so does it require kibbutz? And we're going to bring a similar discussion that we're going to think is perhaps a raya from being mazeh the mechatas, the paraduma waters, on a woman who is a nida, and whether that can work if there's already tumah, if she already has some other form of tumah, can't she become tahar from that tumah? And then the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph is going to discuss other halachos of the kibbutz. What if the blood comes straight from the neck of the animal directly onto the beged? It was never actually caught in a kli sharis. And the Mishnah is essentially going to establish the rule that there's a window of time where the blood is eligible for kibbutz. It has to be that it was already niskabel b'kli, and it's still ra'uli lahaza'a. Once it's no longer ra'uli lahaza'a, it's no longer going to require kibbutz anymore either. And then that will take us essentially, those discussions will take us till the Mishnah on Beis, which is probably where we're going to stop today anyway. So let's begin. So by Minei Levi, Nitas mi beged le beged mahu. What if after it touched one beged, the blood then splattered onto another beged? So what's the din of the second beged? Mi beged kama idchile le kibbutz? Do we say that from the moment the blood went on the first beged, it is now no longer able to be used for zrika, and therefore it's considered dam pasul, and dam pasul does not require kibbutz? Or maybe no. Maybe we say that the dam is not nidcha, and it's like dam that spills from a kli sharis on the floor of the Azara, where the Kohen can gather it up and sprinkle it on the Mizbech. Samalei zu sha'ela. He said, wow, that is a great shaila, but I have an answer. Ta'un kibbutz mimanavshach. It's going to require kibbutz regardless of which way you look at it. Because if you say that when a Kohen gathers dam that's on the beged rishon, the kosher, that the dam is still going to be kosher for zrikas hadam, meaning it's not going to be considered disqualified just because it was on a beged, so ha-kosher. So if it's still kosher for zrikas hadam, it's still going to be the kind of dam that requires kibbutz. The e also upasul, and if you're going to say that the dam on the beged is not roi laza, and the kohen is not able to gather it up and then use it for azah on the mizbeach, so then the second beged is not going to require kibbutz. So I'm not going to be a kibbutz. Severely, I hold like the sheet of Rabbi Akiva that's quoted later on in Daf Tzadi Gimel, the Amar Hoysalo Shasa Kosher, that if it ever was kosher, and then Nifsala, then it became apostle, Dama Ta'un Kibbutz, that it's going to require Kibbutz, even though, just because it once had a Shasa Kosher. So Dam, that's on the second beged, is going to require Kibbutz, since if you say that it was Nidche from Hazah on the first beged, nevertheless, it initially was Niskabel in a Klisharis, and is Ra'oi for Hazah. So either way, it's going to require Kibbutz. So now the Gemara raises a separate Shaila. What if the dam gets splattered not onto a regular beged, on a beged that's tame? Do we say that since the beged is already tame, so that dam that touches it is not going to be ra'ui frazah on the mizbeach, so it's the same thing as dam that had become tame before hitting the beged, where it would be not ra'ui lazah and therefore not require a kibbutz? Or do we say no, until the moment that dam hit that beged, the dam was perfectly ra'ui, and therefore this beged requires Kibbutz. Some Rav Huna b'Rabbi Yehoshua mitkamibay lehachi. From the fact that you have that question, and that's the way you raise the question, and you did not ask the question about it becoming tameh and the dam becoming pasul before it touching the beged, sounds like that you hold that if it became tameh before it touched the beged, then you're sure that it would not require kibbutz, even though there was a time that it was ra'ui for azah before it ever became tameh. So shema mina ha'isala shasa kosher v'nifsala ein damata and kibbutz. You must be assuming that even though it was once kosher for hazah on the mizbeach, but if it has since become pasul, such dam does not require a kibbutz. So han imili baze acharzeh, and you must further be distinguishing that that's only meaning, and you must your shaila therefore must be that maybe that's only true when the dam becomes pasul and then touches the beged. Avol bas achas, but if the dam becomes pasul at the moment that it hits the beged, lo, maybe there's no such din. Odil maloshna, or maybe there's no difference whether it becomes pasul before it hits the beged or as it hits the beged. Either way, it's not going to require a kibbutz. So Malay plucked it. Rav Elazar v'Rabbanan aliba the rabba to come a katari. It's abaye. That the way to understand this, the answer to this question, is that it's a machlokas between Rav Elazar and the Rabbanan. The way Rabba understands the machlokas, the way Abaye touches up Rabba's understanding of the machlokas. What in the world is that all about? So that's what the Gemara is going to get into now. It's a little bit of a discussion, but it's going to bring us back to this issue of, again, we just have to maintain clarity on what the issue is. The issue is that if the dam only becomes pasul because it hit the tameh beged, does it require kibbutz or not? Do we assume that it's the same as dam that had become pasul before it hit the beged, in which case it would not require kibbutz? Or do we assume it's like dam that was totally kosher and therefore does require kibbutz? So, Ditanya, the brisa that sheds light on it is as follows. It's not really about dam at all. The brisa is about Rav Elazar Omer Mechata Shenitmu Metaharin Sharinida Mazen Aleha. That Mechatas, Paraduma, ash water of Paraduma that became Tameh could be Metaher, because in Nida you could sprinkle on a nida. What does that mean? A nida that became tame to a mace, you could sprinkle on her the mechatas on her before she's ever toveles linidasa, before she ever gets out of her status of being a nida. And after you sprinkle the mechatas, she'll do one tevila for both tumos, because we don't find anywhere that she has to be tovel for her nidos before she ever has hazaas mechatas and then be tovel a second time as part of the process of the mechatas. So this is a raya that you could be mitar with mechatas that became tameh before the hazaa, because by definition the mechatas is being mitameh her at the hazaa, meaning the mechatas is becoming tameh when it hits the tameh person, when it hits the nida. So that's a raya that mechatas that became tameh before it hit the nida would also be perfectly okay. Va'amar Rabba, Rabbi Elazar b'shitas Rabbi Kiva, Rabba amara. Rabbi Elazar was following the shita of Rabbi Kiva. And remember, Rabba's answer is not really going to be what we need over here. It's going to be Abaye's explanation. So we'll see how that works out. So Rabba explains that Rabbi Eliezer is following the sheet of Rabbi Akiva, who holds that just putting a kli over something that's tameh will be metameh that kli. If you take the kli that has the mechatas and you put it in the airspace above the tumah, it will pasul the mechatas even though it doesn't actually touch the tumah. It's considered as if it's touching the tumah, and that's why Rabbi Elazar brings a raya about sprinkling on anida with mechatas that became tameh before, from a case of mechatas that became tameh before hazaa, because when you sprinkle on a nida, it also becomes tameh before it touches the nida, because you know what happens before it lands on the nida? It's in the airspace of a nida, and if you hold that airspace is metameh, so then Rabbi Elazar makes perfect sense that he's making this tsushtel, he's making this comparison between dam that between mechatas that became tameh before it was used and mechatas that was sprinkled on a nida, because by definition when it's sprinkled on a nida it's also becoming tameh. Tame before it was used. Ditnan, and we explain the Shita of Rabbi Akiva that we have a Mishnah Maseches Para that if there was a jug of Mechatos in a window that was in a wall, and there was an oven right near the wall, Hayomid Chutz L'Tanur, if you're standing behind the oven is being mafsik between you and the wall, so that you're sandwiching the oven between you and the wall, and the wall has the Mechatos, Visheretz B'Tanur, and that oven has a sheretz in it. And you reach over the oven and take the kli that has the mechatos in it, and you pass the mechatos over the opening of the oven. Rabbi Kiva matame. Rabbi Kiva holds that it's going to become tame. Why? Because it went over the airspace of the tumah that was beneath, that was in the oven. The chum mitarin and the chum say it's tahar. And what are they arguing about? Ubahapliki. So Rabbi Kiva suffer kumunachdami. Rabbi Kiva holds that when it's over the airspace, it's as if it's placed down in the tamei oven. And the Rabbanan say, no, it's not kumunachdami. It's not as if it's placed in the oven. The Eisvei Abaye, and Abaye asked on Rabba's explanation, Moda Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Kiva's Moda, even though Rabbi Kiva disagrees with the chum and holds that the mechatos that you pass over Tanur, that has a sheretz in it, is going to be no good, is going to become tameh. But isn't he moda b'hazaa sheheivira, that if you sprinkle mechatos on a person and it flies over al gabe kli cheres tameh, over some tuma in the sprinkling process, let's say the same exact situation, you have a tanur with a sheretz in it, and you sprinkle over that tanur with the sheretz in it, al gabe mishkav u'moshev tameh, or on top of a mishkav or moshev azav, which is also tameh, shehi tahura, Rabbi Akiva's moda, in that case that it's tahura, shein lecha davar shemitami lemala kilamata, because nothing is metame in the airspace above it, like it's metame something that's directly on it, el kezayis min emesu shar kol ha-mahilin, except for kezayis min emesu, or anything else that's tame b'tumas ohel. But a sheretz is not tame b'tumas ohel. Lasu yev min ha-menugas. You know what else tame b'tumas ohel? An evan that has a nega of tzaras. That's metame with the avir that's above it. But you see that Rabbi Akiva does not hold that there's such a thing of tuma in the avir. So how then do you explain Rabbi Akiva's shita about taking the jug of mechatos over the open oven and saying that that's metame, the jug of mechatos? Why in the world should that be metame, the jug of mechatos? Both Rabbi Kiva and Rabbanan hold that the jug is not considered like it's placed in the oven. But you know why Rabbi Kiva thinks when you pass the jug over the open oven you're being metame it? Rabbi Kiva savar gazrinan shema yenuach. We make a gzera lest you place it down. Rabbanan savri lo gazrinan, and the Rabbanan don't make any such gzera. And mod Rabbi Kiva b'hazah kivan denafik nafik, and that's why Rabbi Kiva is not going to be metame the mechatos that's sprinkled over the open oven, because there's no gzera shema yeniach when it's flying sprinklings of mechatos. So Rabbi Lazar Rabbanan b'may kamifli. So if that's the case, that the normal tumults are not metame with the avir over them, so go back to that Machlokas Rabbi Lazar and the Rabbanan, the Rabbi Lazar who brought a raya that mechatos that is tame has the ability to be metayer, and how does he know it? Because you could sprinkle mechatos on anida, and the Rabbanan who disagree with that raya, what are they arguing about? Meaning, where's Rabbi Lazar coming from? How can you compare mechatos that's already tame to mechatos that gets sprinkled on a nida? We've just precluded the possibility that the comparison is based on the fact that it's in the airspace over a nida before it hits the nida, because airspace doesn't mean anything. Mechatos that is flying, that is being sprinkled, does not become tame when it's in the airspace of something that's tame. So what exactly is the shita of Reb Lezer? So I'm Abaye's explanation, and that's going to be the one that sheds light for us. B'donin tuma keduma mituma ba'osashah kamiflugi. Reb Lezer and the Rabbanan are arguing whether you can learn the din of tuma that pre-existing tuma from tuma that happens at that very moment. So Mar Savadanan, Reb Lezer says, yeah, it's the same thing. What difference does it make if the mechatos was tame before it was sprinkled, or the mechatos was tame at the moment that it hits the person that it's sprinkled on? Omar Savrein Danan, and the Rabbanan say, no, those two are not comparable at all. The mechatos that only becomes tame when it hits the nida was perfectly kosher before then. And therefore, Rami Bar Chama's Shaila, if dam that's sprinkled on a beged tame requires kibbutz, is going to be subject to this machlokas Rabbi Elazar and the Rabbanan. According to Rabbi Elazar, dam that lands on a tame beged is like dam that became tame before it landed on the beged, in which case it does not require kibbutz. Whereas the Rabbanan would hold, no, those are very different things. Dam that was tame before it landed on the beged would not require kibbutz, but dam that only became tame once it landed on the beged, that taka will require kibbutz. And then the Gemara says, but you know, there's another explanation of the whole machlokes Rav Elazar and the Rabbanan. Rava Amar, Rav has a different explanation. Dukuli alma ain danin. Everyone agrees. We don't learn that we can't compare a case of previous tuma to tuma happening just at that moment when it. When it hits the person, and over here, where what Rabbi Elazar and the Rabbanan are arguing about is as follows: the Rabbi Elazar sever hazah tzricha shir. Rabbi Elazar holds the hazah of mechatas requires a shir, and any time you don't do a full shir, it's not going to be metaher umitzar from the hazahs. And if you're mazah less than a shir, you could be mashlim the shir by being mazah a little more. So Rabbi Elazar learns from the hazah and nida that the mayim tame if you're maza a little bit, pachos mikshir on the nida, so that little bit that you were maza has become tame from the nida, and now you're going to be maza the rest of the shir onto the nida, and that's going to now be mitstarif with the water that you were already maza on the nida. So now you have mayim tame being maza being mitar her. So that's what Reb Lazar is saying. That's the same as sprinkling mayim tame on the nida in the first place. Because on the person in the first place, because if you're using the mayim that's already on Anida and is already tame to now be mitzaref with new mayim that's finishing up the job, that's the same as using mayim that's already tame. For Rabbanan Savri Hazah and Sri Hashir, the Rabbanan say no, Hazah doesn't require a shir. So when you sprinkle on Anida, no matter how little bit of the sprinkling hits her, it immediately is mitayher. You don't need to be mitzaref with what comes next. Okay, good. And then we learned in the Mishnah the Chatas Psula. That a Chatas Psula, the dam does not require a kibbutz if the Chatas itself was possible, whether it had a Shasa Kosher or whether it never had a Shasa Kosher. So Tanu Rabbanan, we have a Braisa that it says in the din of kibbutz that Midama, so we darshin Midam Kshera velo Midam Psula. That when do you need kibbutz? Only when it's a dam of a Kosher Chatas, not a Pasul Chatas. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Hoysala Shasa Kosher Nifsula Damaton Kibbutz. If it was once kosher and then became possible, then the dam requires kibbutz. Lo haysala shasa kosher v'nifsala, ein damaton kibbutz. But if it never had a shasa kosher and then became possible, the dam does not require kibbutz. Rabbi Shimon Omer, echad zeh ve'echad zeh, ein damaton kibbutz. Rabbi Shimon holds, either way, whether it had a shasa kosher or not, didn't have a shasa kosher, if it is possible, it does not, the dam does not require kibbutz. My time with Rabbi Shimon, where does Rabbi Shimon get this idea from, that dam that's possible will never require kibbutz? Ksiv osa, the pasuk says osa, which is a miyut, uksiv midama, and it says midama, which is also a miyut. So when the Torah tells me there is this din called kibbutz, it gives me two miyutin, chad lehechad oisel hashasa kosher, vechad lelo oisel hashasa kosher, one for a case that had that's possible but had a shasa kosher, and the other for a case of possible that didn't have a shasa kosher. That both of those cases do not require kibbutz. Rabbi Kiva Osa prat the truma, and Rabbi Kiva will say, no, the miyut of Osa comes to tell me about the other din that parsha teaches about, which is the din of Mariku Shtifa, that any kli that had basar kabanas cooked in it, you need to wash it out, it needs Mariku Shtifa, that doesn't apply to a kli that had truma cooked in it. Rabbi Shimon Tameid, Markachim Kalim, aim to win in Mariku Shtifa, Kolishke and Truma, and Rabbi Shimon doesn't need a pasuk to tell me that, because he holds that even Kachim Kalim doesn't require Mariku Shtifa, so obviously, truma is not going to require Mariku Shtifa. Before we move on to the next mission, there's an interesting tshuva in the Marsham. In Chelik Dalet Simon Chavtes, he was asked about someone who slept in a Beis HaMerchatz, and when he got up in the Beis HaMerchatz, he washed three times, or Netila Sidayim. So normally the halach is when you leave the Beis HaMerchatz, you have to wash a Netila Pamachas. So he did a Netila Gimel Pamim in the Beis HaMerchatz. So Shailas, does that work, considering that he's still in the Beis HaMerchatz, so he still has this is tumah. So did his netilah in the Beis Hamerchatz work, and therefore when he leaves the Beis Hamerchatz, he only has to do netilah pamachas? Or do we say no, the netilah in the Beis Hamerchatz doesn't work because he was still tameh, and therefore when he comes out, he's going to have to do netilah gimel pam? So the Marsham brings a raya from our sugya, because in our Gemara we're saying that a nida, a woman who's anyway tamei, you could do the mechatos on her, and that's going to work. The mechatos process is going to work on her, even though she has this other tumah, meaning you can separate them out and follow the rules of each tumah independently. Okay, so now we move on to the next Mishnah. More dinim relating to kibbles. Nitas minat saver. Let's say the dam comes out, squirts out from the neck of the animal before it's in skabel b'kli, ala beged, directly onto a beged. Einotom kibbles. It's not going to require kibbles. Min hakeren. On the flip side, if the dam sprinkles at a much later stage, after you already put it on the keren amzbeach, and from the keren it goes onto a beged. Umina yisod, or even later, you're pouring out the shirayim, and it splatters from the yisod of the mizbeach onto the beggar, ain't no time kibbles, does not require kibbles. Nishbach ala ritzba, if the dam spills out on the floor after shechita, before you makabel in kli shares. Va'asafo, and the kohen gathers it together in a kli from the floor, and then the dam splatters onto a beggar, ain't totem kibbles, does not require kibbles. Why? Because ain't totem kibbles, el dam shen skabel b'kli, v'roi la'za'a. There's a short window of time where dam will require kibbles. It's got to be dam that was already in the skabel in a kli, and is still on the mizbech. Now we have a Gemara Tan Rabbana. Yachal minat savra al beged yotarim kibbles. We might have thought that when it goes directly from the neck of the animal onto a beged, it does require kibbles. Tamalomer asher yazeh. Lo amarti lecha ela b'ra'i lahazah. That's why the pasuk says asher yazeh, that only dam that's ra'i for hazah. And if it's never been niskabel in a kli, it's not ra'i for hazah. Tanya idach. We have another brayso. Yachal nitas min hakeren u'minei yisod yotarim kibbles. You might have thought that it could still require kibbles, even if it sprinkles at a much later stage, it comes off of the keren or the yisod. Tamalomer asher yiza. That's why the pasuk says yiza prat lezeh shekvar huza, meaning excluding that which already had its sprinkling. So if it's not yet ready for sprinkling, or the sprinkling is already over, such dam is not going to require kibbutz. It's only in that window of time that it's ready for the sprinkling, but the sprinkling didn't yet happen. Nishbach al ritzbah. The Mishnah then said if it fell onto the ritzba and you gather it together in a kli, it does not require kibbles when it goes onto a beged. And then we said another din that it doesn't require kibbles unless it's neskabel b'kli and ro'i for hazaa. So says Mar Hasu Lameli. What does that last line really teach me? So says Mar, nothing. Matam kamar. It's just explaining the reason for the previous halacha. Matam nishbach ala ritzba va'asafu eintom kibbles. Why is it that when it spills on the floor and you gather it together, it does not require kibbles? Lavish eintom kibbles el dam shen neskabel b'kli v'ro'i laza. Because only dam that's caught in the kli and is ro'i laza actually requires kibbles. Good. We learned in the Mishnah that dam requires kibbles is only if it's niskabel b'kli and is ro'i lahaza'a. So he said ro'i lahaza'a. So the Gemara asks, why does the Tana have to say ro'i lahaza'a when we already said that it only requires kibbles when it's niskabel b'kli? Isn't that by definition, if it's niskabel b'kli, it's ro'i lahaza'a? So the mutemai, ro'i lahaza'a the mutemai. What exactly is the Tana being mema'it with those words? The mu'ute kibel pachos mikidei azoya b'kli zeh. It's excluding the case where you gathered less than a kedei hazaa in two separate kelim, and then you mix them together into one kli, and that dam goes on to get splattered onto a beged. It does not require a kibud because it was not niskadesh properly. D'tanya, like we learned in the Braisa, Rabbi Chalafta Bar Shalomer, kidesh, if the mechatas, now this goes back to a discussion of mechatas, if you put from the ashes on the water in two separate kelim, pachos mikdei azayi b'klizeh, pachos mikdei azayi b'klizeh, you mix the ashes and the water, but in too small a measure, in two separate kelim, lo kiddush, then the water does not become kadosh as mechatas. Ibayiluhu b'dam mahu. So they ask the shayla, and does the same thing apply to dam of karbanos? If you cast catch less than a kedei hazoya in one kli and less than a kedei hazoya in another kli? Can they combine together? And hilchas and the two tzadim are, meaning we know the halacha is by mechatos that they don't combine together. What about by dam? Do we assume hilchas yumi hilchas alogarminan, the whole thing that of them not combining together by the mechatos is halacha l'moshe m'sinai, and you cannot derive anything from halacha l'moshe m'sinai? Odilma hasa maitaima dichsiv v'taval b'mayim hachanami ksiv v'taval b'dam. Or maybe it's based on the wording of the pasuk where it says v'taval, that you need a kdei tevila to dip your fingers in and to actually do the sprinkling. Well, you have the same thing over here by dam. So Tashma, the Gemara tries to bring a raya to Amar B'Zreik Amar B'Lazar af b'dam lo kiddush, that even by dam we find that if you collect less than the amount in two separate kelim and then combine them, that it is not mekadesh, and therefore it's not roi la'azal mizbech, and such dam is not going to require kibbutz. Amar Rava Tanya, we learned in a brisa by the parkoy in Mashiach, the pasuk says that you do a lot of sprinkling. So it says vitaval v'lo mesapik, that he has to dip his fingers in. He can't be mesapik. He has to dip his fingers into the dam in the kli. He can't clean off from the dam on the side walls of the kli or on the anything like that, or on the scrape the bottom of the kli. He's got to dip. You dip your finger in the dam. Badam actually badam shir tevila meyikaro, and badam teaches me that the kli always had to have a sheer tevila of dam, enough dam that you can dip your finger in. And min hadam should be inyan. That teaches us min hadam should be inyan, and we'll see what in the world that means. So it says Mar v'isrich l'michtav badam. It needs to tell me badam. Di'ikas v'rachman v'tavol hava amina afu b'dilak a sheer tevila meikaro. If it only would have said v'tavol, I would have said, yeah, you have to dip your finger in the dam, but it didn't need to always have that sheer of dam in the kli. It could have been combined later. So Kasr Rahmana Badam, that's why he had to tell me Badam. And I Kasr Rahmana Badam Hava Amina Afilu Mesapik Kasr Rahmana Vatavel. And if it only would have said Badam, I would think that you can scrape off the Dam, that you don't have to do an actual Tevila. That's why it says Vatavel. But what about that last Limud that we had, that third Limud? Min Adam Shebeinyan. What's that? Lemute Mai. What are we trying to be Mai? Tzamarava Lemute Shirayim Be'etzva. An unusual halacha that the Cohen does the sprinkling, and there's his finger's going to be dirty. Will still have some blood in it. When he does his next sprinkling, he needs to clean off the blood that's still on his finger to do the next sprinkling. And there's a raya to Rabbi Lazar who holds that the shirayim that are on his etzba, that are on his finger, is possible. He's got to clean it off. That your Talmidim told me that Rav Amram said that Tanina, that we learned in the Brisa, Hayamaze, if the Kohen has the Dam Chatos HaPnimios on his finger and he's sprinkling it, Vinitza Hazoa Miyado, and some of it gets off onto a beged, Ad Shalo Hiza, before the sprinkling, Ton Kibbutz, that beged is going to need Kibbutz. But Misha Hiza, if some of the blood went onto a beged after he already did the sprinkling, ain't on kibbutz. That peg is not going to require kibbutz. So what does it mean before he did the sprinkling, after he did the sprinkling? My love, hachikamar, ad shelo gamar mi lahazos ton kibbutz, mi shegamar lahazos ain't on kibbutz. That what we're looking at is before he completed all of the azos, and after he completed all of the azos, that before he completed all the sheva azos, some of its sprinkles, so that's where it's ton kibbutz. But after he finishes all the azos, it sprinkles, then he's not going to require kibbutz. So you see that the Shiari Adam must be kosher for Hazaa against Rabbi Lazar who passed them. Because if they'd be pasul, then the Dam wouldn't require a kibbutz. Because the rule is, pasul Adam doesn't require a kibbutz. So it must be that whatever's left over from the Adam is still, on his finger, is still kosher. Says Marlo, no, you're misunderstanding. Hachi kamar. Actually, yatsa Hazaa miyado ton kibbutz. Shiatsa Hazaa miyado in ton kibbutz. That when he's toveled the etzba in the Dam, and there's still Dam in his hand that gets sprinkled from the dam onto the beged, that requires kibbutz. But when it's miyatsa hazav miyado, he already sprinkled onto the parochas, and he still has dam on his hand, and from that gets sprinkled onto the beged, that's dam pasul. Whatever's left on his hand is dam pasul. So that's ein toten kibbutz. So the Gemara brings a mishnah that's going to contradict this. Eisvei abaye, we have a mishnah meseches para. Gomar milahazos. If the segan koin gadol, who's standing on the har mishcha, finishes sprinkling from the dam para all seven ozaos, that he has to be mazet toward the heichal. Mekaneh yado begufa shel para. He should clean his hand off on the gufa shel para. Sounds like, when does he clean it off? Gomar in, lo gomar lo, only after he completes all seven hazaos. But according to what we're saying now, he's got to clean off after each hazaah, because whatever's left on his finger is not going to be kosher for the next hazaah. So Amalei, someone responded, gomar mekanech yad b'guv shalpara. When he finishes all seven, that's when he cleans his hand off on the guv shalpara. Lo gomar mekanech etzba'o. But if he does, that's when he cleans his hand off on the guf shel para. But lo gamar, if he hasn't completed all the hazaos, then he's mekanech only his finger, in order that there shouldn't be any shiari adam from the previous hazaah on his finger, and that would passel the next hazaah. So bishlam gamar mekanech yado beguf shel para shemar v'sar v'sapara le'enov. I understand very well, when he finishes being mazeh, he cleans off his hand on the guf shel para, because the pasuk says v'sar v'sapara le'enov, and that's why he cleans the dam on his hand on the para that's going to get burnt together with the para. El etzbo b'may mekanech. How's he supposed to clean off whatever little bit is on his finger? He's not able to be mekanech his finger on the guf ha-para, because then it's going to get dirty from the guf ha-para, and hairs from the para are going to stick onto him, and it's going to be a ganai to do further hazos that way. So Amar Abaye b'sfas mizrak k'dichsev kipore zav. What he does is he cleans off whatever blood is on his finger by rubbing it against the edge of the kli, the kli sharis that he's using, and that's what the pasuk says by the kli sharis kiforei zahav, that it's called that because he's mekaneach his hand from the shiarei adam after each and every hazaa on the edge of the kli. Okay, we're going to stop there, and tomorrow we'll pick up at the mishnah.